We often have too much to do and not enough time to do it. We are so far behind that we're usually thinking about what we need to do while we're doing something else. Our weeks are filled with the half finished and the not started, the going to start and the undone. And don't forget the I don't know where to start. Well, I've got a word that will help you with your to-do list, a word that will get it all in order on this episode of A Word with Anthony Walker. Priority, noun, a thing that is regarded as more important than another. Theologian Hayden Robinson points out that an old recipe for rabbit started with the instruction, first catch the rabbit. I'm sure that can be analogous of our priorities. They're all over the place and at times difficult to catch. I know I said it on the other episode. Sometimes the most important thing to attack on the list is ordering the list itself. Today, right now, we're going to get that list in order. We first need to figure out how we got into this mess. If you're like me, you may struggle with the word no. Future episode alert, that's another word in which we'll take a deep dive. We struggle with hearing no, and we struggle with saying no. If you struggle with saying no, that means you're either saying yes a whole lot, or you're saying not right now, which sounds like a no, but is really a delayed yes. When we say yes to most things, we're making commitments, taking on assignments, and registering for obligations. And if we're not disciplined and diligent to schedule those things and assign them a place, we're simply adding pressure to an already pressure-filled life. When we mismanage our priorities, it almost reminds me of how a Ponzi scheme operates. The Ponzi scheme is a get-rich-quick investment scheme that preys on the impatience of investors. The broker promises unrealistic returns and has some who testify to those returns. The reality is the broker isn't investing any of the money. He's pocketing most and merely seeking out new investors, which enables him to give partial payments to earlier clients' presumed investments. It all comes crashing down when he is not able to recruit any more new investors and previous clients are begging for their money at once. How does this relate to our unorganized priorities? Well, we keep making promises that we don't currently have the time or resources to fulfill. So we end up doing half work, starting up new things while not finishing old things. And the rest of the time, we delay for another time. The problem is that time is an ever-ticking, ever-leaking resource. We cannot make or produce time. So we try to borrow some of tomorrow's time to partially pay yesterday's debt while taking up most of today trying to catch up. Before it all goes down, we try to reschedule, repromise, and rework some things in order to make the impossible possible. One day, when we run out of time, our deadlines meet, and we look up and find unfulfilled promises, unfinished projects, and unrealized potential. Do you want to reclaim some lost time? Do you need to set up a budget for your time and resources? Let's get our priorities together. Legendary Alabama football coach Tom Landry was once asked how he was so successful in his coaching career. He said, "I did something everyone who has been successful must do. I determined my priorities for my life: God, family, then football." When I hear that quote, I think more about his determination than his success. What stands out to me is the fact that he said, I determined my priorities for my life. There are many things of which we're not in control, but you are in control and you are responsible for your priorities. As a man of faith, I often look to the scriptures to find answers to life's most complicated issues. Even Jesus, in his perfection, had to do something that he had not done before wrapping himself in humanity. He had to manage time. Despite popular belief, you cannot save time or make time or even find time. I've never seen an account for time savings. I've never seen a person create time. And in all of my days of running and going through the woods and walking down sidewalks, I have found money, I have found trinkets, but I've never found 5 minutes lying on the ground. At best, we are managers of time. So let's look at how Jesus managed his time. Side note, this is the point that you're going to want to listen intently or be prepared to listen to again, because you may need a piece of paper and pencil for this. I want you to jot down your priorities. No particular order. It doesn't even have to be lined paper. Just jot them down. Good. Now get another sheet, and now I'll show you how to order them in the next few minutes. All right. Back to Jesus. Firstly, he dealt with what are really priorities. And by priorities, he dealt with things that must be done. On one occasion while traveling, Jesus said, I must go through Samaria. At that time, and in that culture, Samaria was a place to be avoided, especially for Jews. But because of the brevity of his ministry, he knew that this was a must-do for him. Yes, it was countercultural and even bothered those disciples who went with him. But this was a must-do for him. Check your priorities and find those things that you absolutely must do. But wait, maybe you're listening and you're looking at your list and you say, I must do all of these things. Well, okay, that's good. But let's add another filter. If you look at your list and you say, I've got to do all of this, consider the consequences of not doing it. If it's a must do, the consequences are major. If it's a good to do, the consequences are minor in comparison. On one instance, Jesus had been preaching and teaching all day. People had been bringing the sick and he healed them, but he was getting extremely tired. In that moment, he had to make a choice between seemingly two priorities, his sleep and their healing. Consider the consequences. If he fails to sleep, he won't be able to do ministry. But others may say, but the people need healing. If he doesn't heal them, they will have to endure their infirmities a little longer. Here was his choice. He chose to get rest, and he healed them the next day. He chose a must-do over a good-to-do. So go back to your sheet. Identify the must-dos followed by the good-to-dos. These are truly priorities. You may have items that still need to be placed on the list. The next category we will approach are things that you need to delegate. As a leader, I sometimes have difficulty discerning those things that I need to improve doing and those things I just need to delegate. If you spread yourself too thin, doing too many things, you won't be proficient or efficient in doing anything. The successful and the effective know when they need to delegate. As Jesus began his ministry, he gave power and authority to some of his disciples, as well as instructions and guidelines. Even the Apostle Paul, in advising his mentee Timothy, encouraged Timothy early in his ministry to entrust things to faithful men. Some things on your list need to be delegated. Someone else is more motivated, more passionate, and more driven to take them to the next level. Let me also give a note of advice here as well. In addition to sharing the goal, also share the glory. Jesus accomplished much more because he worked with others. On many occasions, he would call Peter, James, and John to accompany him in ministry work. Even Jesus, a perfect man with all power, worked with others. Our world is increasingly self-centered and individualistic. So often we attempt to be lone rangers. But there are things on your list that you can do with someone else who might share the same priority. Work out with a partner, for example. Study with someone else. Support one another in the business ventures. Next, you must make the difficult decision to identify things you must stop doing. While yes, the scripture says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, Paul is not saying that we can simultaneously do everything. There's only so much room on your plate, only so much time in a day. The reality is that there are some things you won't be able to do, and your attempting to do it all is detrimental to the other things. Priority is when a thing is regarded as more important than another. Posteriority is when a thing is regarded less important than others. If it is important for me to determine the things I need to do, it is also important for me to identify the things I need to stop doing. If you're dedicating time, energy, and resources to things that are not adding value, then you're wasting time. We are not in the business of wasting time. We're in the business of trying to manage the time that we have to create windows of opportunity to accomplish what we're purposed to accomplish in the few moments we have in existence. This is where we need to practice saying no. Author Stephen Covey says it this way in his book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. You have to decide what your highest priorities are and have the courage, pleasantly, smilingly, non-apologetically, to say no to the other things. Jesus had a few phrases that I encourage you to put into practice as you adhere to your priority list. He said, "What does this have to do with me?" Here's our note. We need to examine and analyze what we do and why we do it. Some things we do just to appease others. Sometimes we're chasing status, power, prestige, or position. But what is the purpose? Remember that line. What does this have to do with me? Another phrase he used, it's not time. Our note here, be mindful of the things that take priority of your time. People who are unorganized don't keep track of time. On one occasion, he even delayed going to heal a good friend named Lazarus because of a greater pressing need. Remember that second phrase, it's not time. Another phrase he used, I must do. Our note, while he did lots and lots of good in the world, he was mindful to execute his must-do list. And when you go back to your list and find those things that are must-do, There's only so many that you can accomplish in a day. But if you accomplish your must-do list, you're already ahead of the game. Here's another phrase. Roll the stone away. Even having all power, Jesus delegated. He told others to roll the stone from Lazarus's tomb. Don't be afraid to delegate. Some things, even though you have the power to do it, your priority list may not avail you the time to do it. Roll the stone away. Another phrase, I must go. Jesus knew at some point this portion of his assignment would end. Do you know what you're working on till it ends? Have you prepared for it to end? Are you training the replacement? Are you executing your exit? Those phrases can help you as a reminder to maintain your priority list. But how do we deal with the people on our priority list? You know, sometimes people can be unpredictable or finicky or hard to please. Have you noticed how sometimes you readjust your schedule to meet someone only for them to say, hey, could we reschedule? I'm running about an hour late. Jesus knew that he wouldn't please all the people. He sought to please just one, his Father. When he made God priority, everything else fell into place. When we try to please everyone, we look like those flight boards at the airport. No, I'm not talking about the flight boards that you see when it's sunny and 70. I'm talking about how the boards look during inclement weather. Delayed, delayed, rescheduled, delayed, delayed, canceled, canceled. Speaking of airlines, we stand to learn a lot from Southwest Airlines. In the late 60s, Southwest Airlines came on the scene with an interesting idea. Unlike the other bigger and more popular airlines that utilized assigned seating, Southwest opted for unassigned seating. No first class, no comfy upfront seats with different meals. All were equal. Same seats, same snack. One flight attendant put it this way. It's open seating. You can sit anywhere you want, just like at church. Why would they use such an option? Well, according to their observation, boarding times were reduced drastically with open seating. No one is waiting on that one person who's running through the airport with their luggage and flailing all over the place. It did speed up boarding times, but it also created somewhat of a mess pre-boarding. People were camped out waiting in long lines because they wanted priority. Well, in 2006, the company was facing some financial difficulties and sought to explore trying out assigned seating. They tried it out on about 200 flights and received mixed reviews, but also they gained some insight. Some loved it and some hated it. Some liked the idea but didn't want the increased wait time. So Southwest modified their approach while adhering to their core principles. They added boarding zones. So now your boarding pass would have a letter, A, B, or C, and a number. Roughly a third of the plane would get on in each zone. But how do you know your zone? It's set up by the time that you decide to digitally access your boarding pass. As soon as 24 hours prior to flight time, a person can digitally board. The first ones to get online and pre-board, those get priority or either a B zone or an A zone. Now, don't hear that example and think, Southwest did away with priorities, and so should I. What they did was what every other airline does. They prioritized their time and allowed the people to prioritize themselves in relation to their time. Customers have the option to invest more for priority. They can pay for a priority status that virtually guarantees an A-zone boarding or even a preeminent level before A. Or they can wait until the moment pre-boarding opens up 24 hours prior. And even still, they could wait till the last minute. If they get an A boarding zone or a C boarding zone, it's on the customer. But Southwest planes are leaving at the predetermined time. The next time people want a valuable piece of your airtime, think Southwest. There's only so many hours in a day and so many slots of time you have and so many destinations that you will go. Those who value time will then value your time. Hey, they may even call 24 hours in advance to make sure they are pre-boarded. Listen, I'm thankful that you've budgeted a few moments of your time to be with me, and I hope I've added value to your day. I hope you've been helped today with your priorities. If you have, and you know someone who could benefit, please share a word with Anthony Walker.